Lord, in a word of prayer. Father, we're so grateful, God, that we've already been able to just rejoice through song, and Lord, to just hear the incredible words to these songs, many of which Bobby Lee has written himself. Lord, you've blessed him, you've anointed he and Annette both to travel and bring your word and the gospel through song, and I just pray, God, that you just have your hand of blessing upon them. We know they've had a difficult few years with their health issues and various things that have come up, but we pray your hand of blessing will be upon them. Father, now as we open your word in just a few moments here, that you would just speak to hearts and lives. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll have your way, that you'll teach, that you'll just help us each one to have attentive hearts and minds. Holy Spirit, that you would just knock on the door of the heart of anyone here that might be lost and unsaved. And I just pray, Father, that that you would just reveal your Son Jesus to them. And we just ask your blessings over the children in the back as they're being taught. Lord, bless our time together, and we'll give thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you'll turn your Bibles to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, a subject that is found in our Bibles that seems to be able to stump many Christians along the way, including myself. It's the subject of finding God's will, the subject of trying to discern what God's will is. We often hear people say, I want to know what God's will is for my life, or I just want to do God's will, or we've been seeking God's will over this particular matter and this sort of thing. And those phrases are all okay, because discerning God's will is not always easy. It's not always something that comes right to us, but also it's not as complicated as we sometimes make it. Oftentimes we overthink things and make them more difficult than God really intended for them to be. So this morning I want to share with you the most important step that you and I can take in order to discover God's will for our lives. And it's really profound. I want you to hang on to your hats, because this is a doozy. And you're going to leave here saying, that Brother Chris is one smart fella. I promise you here. Here it is. It's going to knock your socks off. The best thing we can do to discover God's will is to do God's will. You say, what? How am I going to do God's will if I haven't discovered God's will? And the fact of the matter is, if you'll let me explain for just a moment, there are certain things in our life that we know are God's will. We know it already. We know God has not been unclear on the matter. We know that He wants us to do certain things. And when we begin to do those certain things that we know, then we're setting ourselves up for God to reveal more to us. But if we're not yielded to the things we already know to do, how can we expect God to give us more? How can we expect Him to open our eyes to more things than when we have already been revealed things that we don't obey? He has no reason to tell us more. A common mistake that we make as Christians is we expect more from God when we have not been responsible with what He's already entrusted us with. There's a wonderful principle found in Mark chapter 4. These verses will be on the screen. We'll get to John chapter 7 in just a few moments. But this principle in Mark chapter 4 and verse 25 says this, "For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath." You know what it's simply saying? God will take things and put into our hands, and if we use them wisely and we use them appropriately, we make the most of them, if you will, then he will entrust us with more. There's no denying that truth. I've seen it happen. I've experienced it, and I've experienced it from the negative standpoint as well. And the principle works in another way, though, that we might overlook and we might not consider, and it's found in the prior verse, verse 24, at the end of the verse, that says, "Unto you that hear shall more be given." What's Jesus saying there? When you take the things that you've already heard from Him and you use them, you apply them to your life, in other words, you obey them, then He will reveal more to you along the way. So let's ask ourselves, are we really doing God's will right now? If not, then most likely we're not going to hear any more. We're not going to be revealed more. Christians all over are confused. Christians all over are really just as confused in this world as many lost people because we have no interest in listening to what Jesus has to say. We want to be saved, but we want to follow him at a distance. We don't want to follow closely. We don't want to follow him close enough for him to cramp our style. We don't want to follow him close enough to make us do the hard stuff or to interfere with our plans. And that doesn't work because keeping Jesus at a distance is to not be able to learn from him and not hear from him and not have the skills and the things needed to navigate this world. So let me just share with you this text in John chapter 7, if you've turned over there in your Bibles. We're going to begin in verse 14. It says, "Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and he taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having not learned? And Jesus answered them and said," watch this, "my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." Now let me just stop and tell you what doctrine is, if you're not sure about that. It's just simply my teachings, my instruction, if you will, he's saying there. And he goes on in verse 17, says, "If any man will do his will," who? The Father's. "He shall know of the doctrine." In other words, he shall know of my teachings, my instruction. So what he's saying here is, if you'll do my will, then you'll know more of my will. You'll understand more of the things that I reveal to you. Our obedience will lead to more enlightenment. So I think you get the idea that the way to finding out God's will is being obedient to the things we already know. So I just want to give you three things this morning that Christians should be doing. Things that are God's will. We know they're God's will. It's clear. It's not vague. We know it's God's will. And doing those three things are going to lead us to be able to discover more of God's will. Now, if you'll turn, if you want to turn there, I'll just put it on the screen. 2 Peter chapter 3. The first one we will look at is, it's God's will for people to be saved. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward," watch this, "not willing that any should perish, but that we should all come to repentance." If God's not willing that any should perish, that means that he is willing that everybody be saved. It's his will for people to be saved. So it starts with our own salvation. If we're not born again Christians ourselves, then we're never going to hear the voice of God. We'll never find out God's will for our lives because we don't belong to him. There's not a line of scripture to support the idea that God leads those who don't belong to him. John chapter 10 verse 3 says this, "The sheep hear his voice, and he calleth the sheep by name and leadeth them out." He doesn't lead those who are not his. He doesn't lead somebody else's animals. He leads his sheep, okay? It's his own sheep that hear his voice and are led through this life. Now, did you know this, that the Bible teaches that God doesn't even hear the prayers of the lost? You know, John chapter 9, verse 31 says, "Now we know that God heareth not sinners." You know what that's saying? God's ear is not open to somebody that's lost in their sins. The ideal here is a person whose sins are not forgiven cannot enter into the presence of God, and you can't have a dialogue with someone that you're not in the presence of. We find support for this truth back in the Old Testament as well. In Psalms chapter 66 and verse 18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." If we have refused to come to Jesus for salvation, that unwillingness to accept him is an unwillingness to repent of our sins. So essentially, we're regarding those sins as our own. We're hanging on to them. And the result of that is not being able to have the ear of God. If you're lost, the only prayer that God's going to hear from you is a prayer of repentance. Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God will hear that prayer of repentance, of course, because that is putting your sins away from you and placing them upon his son, Jesus. So he will hear that prayer. So it's the will of God for us to be saved. That's our first one. But it's not just us. It's God's will for everybody around us to be saved. When we are trying to bring people to Christ, when we're witnessing, we're testifying, we're inviting people to church, we're carrying out the will of God in that we are taking steps to bring people to Jesus Christ. It's his will. It's his will. Now, for parents, it goes a step further. When we are raising our children, and grandparents, by the way, because we have a great amount of influence on our grandchildren and getting them to church. Sometimes mom and dad won't do it, but grandma and grandpa can do it, okay? And thank you, because I know many of you grandparents are doing that. But with parents and grandparents, it goes a step further. When we are raising our kids in church and we're keeping them under the sound of God's word, we're bringing them to Christ. That's God's will. His will is being fulfilled. But it also works the other way. If we fail to bring those children up in the church, we fail to bring them up in the Word of God, then we're neglecting God's will in that area. His will is for them to be saved. If we're not doing anything about that, then we're neglecting His will. And I'm gonna say this, and it's going to sound harsh, but it is what it is. Born-again parent, Christian parent, when we stand before God someday and we answer for our parenting, and we'll answer basically for our life. We're saved, yeah, but we're going to be judged on how we lived our life. We're not going to be able to say to Jesus, well, I made sure he made those baseball all-stars. We're not going to be able to say to Jesus, I made sure she was a cheerleader. I made sure that he made the golf team. I made sure that she was in top first 10% of her class academically. That's not going to make any difference whatsoever. That won't be heard in heaven. We're going to give answers for what we did to bring our children to Jesus Christ and raise them in the Lord. They won't be wearing letter jackets in heaven. They won't be carrying trophies or hanging diplomas on the walls of our mansions. It's going to be what we did with our children regarding Jesus Christ. I'm not against sports. I'm not against band. I'm not against golf. I'm not against any of the things I might have mentioned. I'm certainly not against academics. But let me tell you this. There's one role that we as parents and grandparents have that is more important than any one of those other roles. And that is to get our children under the sound of God's word to be saved and then live for Jesus for the remainder of their life. And if there's something else that keeps you from doing that, whether it be a sport or academics or hobby or entertainment or whatever, then you're not doing God's will, and neither am I. Now, that one's free, folks. I'm not going to charge you for that one, okay? If you get it, if you grasp that, you're going to want to pay me later, okay? If you miss it, you'll have a lot of regrets later. So here we go. The first is to get God's will in God's will regarding salvation. We got to be saved, and we've got to be bringing people to Christ. The second thing is, it's God's will for us to live holy. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Sanctification, in simple terms, just put the cookies on the bottom shelf where we can all reach them, is this: just being holy and pure. Set apart for God, living lives that are holy and pure that He can use. Christianity today has been so dumbed down by the world around us that believers are doing in habit today what at one time, if even spoken of, would have made a Christian blush. There are so many areas that we could talk about in this particular subject. There are so many areas of sin, and it comes in many forms, but no subject reads the pulse of a society's a society's spiritual pulse, if you will, than the subject of their sexual culture and practices. Folks, sexual deviance is on a complete runaway. Not just in our nation, but worldwide. It's on a runaway. And if it's that's not alarming enough, it's the acceptance of that deviance by society in general. That is beyond comprehension to me. It's one thing for outfit over here to be doing the debauchery, but it's another thing for the rest of the world to be saying this right here and applauding it or inviting it into their homes to entertain them. Folks, it's nothing less than freakish what we see happening today. It's beyond perverted. It's animalistic. This transgender deal, this homosexuality movement and gender neutrality and sex trafficking, that's one of the most appalling things I can't even imagine, exploiting children and young women and enslaving them to an industry of sex. And it's happening. It's happening in the United States of America far more than we'll ever understand. The porn industry, it's a cesspool, a freak show all around us in our face. But before we say amen to all of that, let me just say this. Illicit heterosexual behavior is sinful as well. We say, oh, the transgender are destroying our world and the gays are destroying our world and all this other stuff is destroying our world. But you know what? Illicit heterosexual activity is a sin as well. We kind of lose sight of that. If it's being done outside of marriage, it's wrong in God's eyes. Whether you're a church-going Christian doing it or whether you're out here in a brothel in Las Vegas, it makes no difference. It's still sin. Most of you know who Nick Cannon is. Many of you do. He used to be married to Mariah Carey. He's an actor, rapper, comedian, talk show host. He's done many movies. Nick Cannon. He seems to be a fairly nice guy. But here's some facts about Nick Cannon. He has fathered 12 children by 6 different women. Watch this. 9 of those 12 children are below the age of 2.5 right now. 9 below the age of 2.5. He had some twins in there, okay? Which tells me that Nick Cannon's a pretty active fella. He's making his rounds. Now, that's not unusual. We have lots of baby daddies running around here doing their thing, okay? But what is shocking about Nick Cannon's situation is how wildly popular he is with everybody. One of the most popular black men on TV today is Nick Cannon. You never hear anyone say anything about his activity as a donor. You don't hear anybody question that. What do? We give him another show on primetime. And we applaud him. We give him a talk show, the Nick Cannon Show, where he can give his profound advice on fatherhood. Where have we gone, folks? I'm not saying that he should be jailed I don't know him personally. It's not about that. It's about our culture. We applaud this. 6 women, 12 children. There's no fatherhood there. It can't be. And we applaud it. We have to learn holiness. We have to have sanctification in our lives as children. And it's not just in the area of sexual activity, but God's will is for us to be holy in our speech, in our thoughts, in our attitudes, in our behaviors, our practices, and yes, in our entertainment. As Christians, we got to put a biblical filter on our entertainment. Because if we don't, if we're applauding the Nick Cannons of this world and all the other freak show stuff, then we're not engaging in the will of God in our entertainment. The third one is this. It's God's will for us to be saved. It's God's will for us to be holy. And it's God's will for us to be led by His Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17 says this, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Right here we go. Understand, it's the will of the Lord. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with His Spirit. It's the will of the Lord that you and I be filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled just intimates the idea of total influence of the Holy Spirit. Being under His totally full, if you will. The Holy Spirit lives within every single Christian. The power, the wisdom, the ability to perform our spiritual responsibilities and duties is always there with us. It's always there because the Holy Spirit's always there. It's the appropriation of that power that we're generally falling short of. The Holy Spirit's there. He wants to do it. It's you and I learning to yield to the Holy Spirit and appropriate that spiritual ability to carry out God's will. In a nutshell, we have to learn to yield to the Holy Spirit, to depend upon the Holy Spirit, to allow the Holy Spirit to have His way in our lives. That's God's will. You know what we tend to do? We tend to live and make decisions as if we were on our own, as if it was all up to us. And our choices become mostly driven by what our desires are, bad or good. They are driven by our own wisdom. Just as smart as we can be, then that's as far as we get. But you know, there's more available there, far more available with the Holy Spirit. We wonder why we end up in a pickle in our life. We wonder why we end up in all these problems we work ourselves into. And remember, verse 17 says, "Wherefore be not unwise." Don't be a goober out there, he said. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And he goes on and says that you be filled with the Holy Spirit. God gave us the Holy Spirit that we could live above this world by living under His leadership. The Holy Spirit is there. He's within you right now if you're a Christian. And He wants to have His way in our lives. He wants us to come under His full influence. Let me illustrate this principle to you, and then I'll be done. This glove, right here. Say it's God's will for this glove to play beautiful music. Can the glove play music? No, glove can't do it. You take this glove, and you slip Bobby Lee's hand into it. And you get him over here. And suddenly there's beautiful music. Glorious music. He can play that piano, folks. What's happened? Did the glove change? Yeah. It yielded to the hand of Bobby Lee. And the result of that is the glove gets to be a part of this beautiful sound that comes out of that because it's yielded and it's able to do something that it otherwise might not have been done. That's the way it is with the Holy Spirit. We come under His influence, we yield to Him and allow Him to accomplish things and do things in our life that otherwise would have never been able to be done. We weren't capable of doing it like the Holy Spirit. But on the other hand, put my hand in it. I couldn't play this as hard. I could probably begin to take lessons. I don't have any talent in me to play music, okay? I can't. So this glove, under my influence, it can't carry out the beautiful music that God wants, as hard as I may try. You know what? you and I, under the influence of this world, yielded to this world, we'll never be able to carry out the will of God the way He wants it. We'll never accomplish the beautiful things that He has for our lives in this world. It's just not going to happen. What we need, if we want good music, we need Bobby Lee putting on this glove. You know what we need if we want a good, strong, spiritual life? We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be yielded and allow Him to fill us. So, let's bring it in just for a moment. The first step to discovering God's will is doing God's will, right? When we are saved, that's the will of God. We're in there. We're doing the will of God. Bringing other people to Christ, we're doing the will of God. When we are sanctified, we're holy. We're living right. We're not letting this world dumb us down. We're not buying into all the jargon, all the lies, all the filth. We're not allowing that to influence us. We're not allowing that to have a part in our life. We're living holy. And we are yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. We're letting Him call the shots, give us direction, help us make right choices. When all of that is done, you know how to find God's will? Just do whatever you want. Do what you want. Do what you're inclined to. You say, no, I can't just go out and do what I want. Yes, you can. If you're saved and you're living holy, and you're yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, will the Holy Spirit of God lead you to do wrong? No, He won't. Just go do what you want, and it'll be God's will. If He wants something contrary to the direction that you're going, His Holy Spirit's going to lead you to that. And your holiness and your desire to live for God will cause you to want to yield to that. Finding God's will is not that hard. It's not that complicated. Bobby Lee, I'll ask you, and if you want to make your way to the piano. You say, Brother Chris, I'm having a tough time figuring out God's plan for my life. Let me tell you how to, especially young people come to me with this, and I understand that, okay. Get a hold of this. Make sure you're safe. Put yourself in a situation of holiness. You're living for God, not perfectly, but you're living for God as best you can. You're calling upon His Holy Spirit every day. Hey, guide my steps. Help me to make decisions. And you do all of those things, young person, old person, whoever's searching. And then get up tomorrow morning, Monday morning, and go out there and just do what's in front of you. You know, it's easier to steer a car when it's rolling. To put its brakes on and set still. Gets pretty tough to steer it, doesn't it? Just move out tomorrow morning and do the things that are before you and just roll with it, because God will show you what His will for your life is day by day. Just keep it rolling. Just keep it rolling. I'm going to ask you to stand for just a few moments. Bobby Lee's going to play. We'll have this altar call. There'll be an opportunity for anybody to come for any reason. If you want to be saved, certainly come, please. But maybe there's something else God's dealt with your heart about, and you come. Heads are bowed and eyes closed. Nobody's going to be getting in your business or looking around.